The epistle appointed to be read for today's feast of the precious blood of our Lord is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of an heifer being sprinkled sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19. At that time, Jesus, when he had taken the vinegar, said, "It is consummated." And bowing his head, he gave up the ghost. Then the Jews, because it was the Parashiv, that the bodies might not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that was a great Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came, and they broke the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him. But after they were come to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water, and he that saw it hath given testimony, and his testimony is true. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But one of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, we read about the Israelites who were delivered from the hands of Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt. God sent Moses to deliver them. He sent 9 plagues to the land of Egypt. Still, the Pharaoh, after all this, would not let the people go. So God sent the 10th and final plague. It was the plague of the death of the firstborn, the firstborn of man and beast would die. And what happened was that the firstborn of the Egyptians were slain, but the firstborn of the children of Israel were not slain. They were not slain because they had the blood of a lamb sprinkled on the side posts and on the upper door posts of the house. God said, "I shall see the blood and shall pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I shall strike the land of Egypt." And so it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord slew every firstborn in the land of Egypt, including the firstborn of the Pharaoh. But the children of Israel, he passed over. And thus there came to be the feast of the Passover. The word Passover comes from a word which means he leaped over or he did not tread on. The word also means to spare or to show mercy to. And this is fitting For on the first Passover in Egypt, Almighty God spared and showed mercy to the Hebrews. The Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron in the middle of the night, and he said to them, "Arise and go forth from among my people. You and the children of Israel, go sacrifice to the Lord as you say. Your sheep and herds take along with you as you demanded, and departing, bless me." And to commemorate this great event, God said through Moses, "And when you have entered into the land which the Lord will give you as he hath promised, you shall observe these ceremonies." And thus the Hebrew people were spared by the blood of the Lamb and delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Dear friends, these historical events were of great significance in themselves, but the realities which they signified are far greater. For these events of the Old Testament foreshadowed the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Moses was himself a figure or type. And so was Moses overcame Pharaoh. Christ overcame Satan. Moses delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. And Christ delivers mankind from the bondage of sin and death. The Israelites were saved by the blood of the Lamb. We are saved by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Agnus Dei, as we say in the Mass. The Israelites, as we read in the Old Testament, ate the flesh of the Lamb and the unleavened bread in the ceremony of the Passover. We eat the flesh and blood of the true Lamb of God in Holy Communion under the appearance of bread. The Israelites were led through the waters of the Red Sea. We are led through the waters of baptism. The Israelites journeyed through the desert to the Promised Land and were nourished with manna from heaven. We journey through the desert of life towards the Promised Land of heaven, and we are fed with the Blessed Sacrament. All those events in Egypt foretold much greater and more wondrous events with the coming of the true Moses, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the epistle for today's Mass, St. Paul speaks of the Old Testament rites and ceremonies, which not only sacrificed lambs, but also goats and bulls. And St. Paul was very specific in his description of the Old Testament sacrifice. He says, "If the blood of goats and bulls sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more," he says, "how much more will the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works?" And what he means by this is that if the sacrifices of the Old Testament had the power to sanctify, how much more does the sacrifice of the New Testament, that is, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ here on our altar, Calvary made present. Now, the annual Passover, which I just explained, that sacrifice offered by the Jews for the space of 1,200 years. That's from the time of Moses all the way up until our Lord's coming. This annual Passover sacrifice was the ritual sacrifice that commemorated their deliverance from Egypt and Pharaoh. By the blood of the Lamb. And it was for that reason that our Lord instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass on the night of the Last Supper, the very night on which the Jews celebrated the Pasch, which is another name for the Passover. On Holy Thursday, that is why so many good Catholics strive to make it to Mass on Holy Thursday. Maundy Thursday, Christ instituted the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The New Testament priesthood was established. The body and blood of the Lamb were given as food for our souls. And Christ instituted the Mass on the very night before he died. And thus, the holy sacrifice of the Mass commemorates and represents the sacrifice of the cross in an unbloody fashion. As the Council of Trent and the Baltimore Catechism teach, it is the same sacrifice as that of the cross. The priest is the same. The victim is the same. It is Christ who offers the Mass through the instrumentality of his priest, and it is Christ who is offered in the double consecration. That's why the rubrics prescribe the ringing of the bells by the server to draw the attention of the faithful in attendance to the most important aspect and part of the Mass, the double consecration. Through the pouring out of his precious blood on Calvary, our Savior merited graces for the salvation of all mankind. But those graces he willed to apply to us through the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And thus, his precious blood was shed once on Calvary, but it is mystically shed many times at each and every single Mass through the double consecration. And my dear friends, we have before us that sacrifice, which was prefigured thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. We have the sacrifice which the incarnate Son of God instituted when he came upon this earth. We have the sacrifice of the true Lamb of God on our altar. The blood of the Lamb of the Passover saved every firstborn of the Israelites from death of the body. But the most precious blood of our divine Savior has saved his people from the death of the soul. And he continues to apply those graces he merited on Calvary through the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass, then, is a true sacrifice in the proper sense of the word. The priesthood of Christ are true priests with the power to offer true sacrifice. They have the power to offer sacrifice and to change only by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to change the bread and wine into his body and blood. It is a miracle. Transubstantiation. And thus, in the Holy Eucharist, our Lord is truly, really, and substantially in the consecrated host, and truly offers himself to his eternal Father. The Mass is therefore, as I said, the same sacrifice as that of the cross. That's one reason why many people have left the Mass of the New Order, the so-called Mass of the New Order, because of the profanation which they have witnessed of this very sacrifice. The sacrifice of the cross was offered in a bloody manner by a real separation of Christ's blood from his body. And in the Mass, it is offered in an unbloody manner, but it is the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary, the one and supreme sacrifice, deserving of the greatest adoration, respect, and honor. And that is why we come to Mass on Sundays. Speaking of the Mass, St. Alphonsus de Liguori says that Jesus Christ performed no action on earth greater than the celebration of Mass. That is all the more remarkable when one considers all of the miracles which our Lord worked for his people. And if you understand this and appreciate what the Mass is, the more we learn about the Mass, the more reverence we have for it, then you can understand why the devil and his modernist agents, those wolves in sheep's clothing, were so determined to destroy it, to substitute in its place the new rite of Mass. Very clear. Bishop Kelly has told us it is nothing more than a cheap imitation of a Protestant supper service. Many Catholics do not know that the holy sacrifice of the Mass was targeted for a very long time by the modernists of the so-called liturgical movement. Liturgical movement which began in 1948. In 1948, a commission for liturgical reform was established in Rome. The commission was headed by two modernists, Father Antonelli and Father Annibale Bunini. These two men would eventually compose the new order of Mass. In fact, Annibale Bunini called the 1962 Missal of John the 23rd, which Missal, by the way, replaced the Missal which was promulgated by Pope St. Pius V. Bunini called the Missal of John the 23rd, which replaced this Missal, and I quote, "the bridge which opens the way to a promising future." And what was that promising future? It was the new Mass, and the fruit of which is the destruction of faith and morals, which we all witness today. So, my dear friends, if you change the way the people worship, which is what these two men spearheaded, you will change the way people believe. You will change the standard of faith. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, understood this very well. And he used his attack on the Mass to change the faith of the German people. And that's what he did. The modernists understood this as well. My dear friends, it is by God's grace and mercy that we have the one true faith and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Do not take these things for granted. Let us appreciate what we have here at our chapel, especially in light of the fact that there are so many so-called traditional groups, but they seek to compromise with the modernists who are occupying the Vatican. Do not then take what we have for granted. In the midst of this great apostasy, let us persevere in the practice of our faith. Strive to live good Catholic lives by going to confession often, receiving Holy Communion frequently, and by avoiding the occasions of mortal sin. For if we persevere and have confidence in the mercy of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, if we do this, we will be able to enter that Holy of Holies, which was first entered by Christ our Redeemer, whose precious blood was poured out for us on Calvary. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.